Hi, this is David Kay, and you're listening to Altered Geek. Geek. Get altered, get geeky, it's a wild ride. Join the discussion, let's dive into lore. From Star Trek to Transformers, we're ready to soar. Superheroes clash as we spark up the flame. Altered Geek Podcast, remember the name. Hello, and welcome to Altered Geek. I'm your host, Steve Megatron, and joining me on this adventure into geekdom is TFG1 Mike.
Holy crap, I'm here, I think. Or maybe I don't think. I don't know. I suffer from brain damage, don't you know?
So anyways, on that note, thanks for tuning in. You can comment on the episode post on... Oh, wait, we're still doing an episode.
Shortest podcast ever. Podcast over.
Yep, click the button. Longest part is the intro.
Well, I mean, sometimes that is technically true.
Sometimes. We're going to be talking a bunch of crap with live action film today. I would kind of preface with like the biggest thing being like the Netflix Warner Brothers thing.
Yeah.
But everything else is like Sequel City.
Yeah. So I went down your list and I was like, 3, 7, no, stop. We don't need a 7. We barely needed a 6. 5 was. Like 1-2 punch. That's all we needed. 1-2 punch. And that happened almost 40 years ago. And then the 3 can just.
So anyways, people don't have any reference on this. So first off,
that's the point.
is Japanese Power Rangers source series, mm-hmm. the Super Sentai, is ending after 50 years.
Yeah.
So there's officially nothing to take from Japan to make new Power Rangers. Yeah, so the latest, you know, is ending, and of course, like they had the goofy looking face thing with the train thing where it's like, oh, they have discs on their face. It's like, what, you know, what does this have to do with anything? How are they gonna see? But they announced it's ending with its current ongoing season of Sentai Gozaiogure. And I'm butchering that, I'm sure.
Yeah.
The decision to end the series from which Power Rangers originated comes after revenue for the series declined below production costs. And this officially marks the end of an era for Japanese TV, given its 50-year run. It's kind of sad because it started in the 1970s and this kind of gave us the whole Power Rangers show and the Zords and the fights and the costume battles and all of the things which we've had up till this point. And that also means that when Power Rangers returns,
they're going to have to do it all themselves.
It'll be 100% original, or they'll be reusing aspects of the old.
Yep.
So I'm cautiously optimistic for it as a new revival, like kind of a new reboot.
Yeah.
Because obviously they can't. I feel like they need a clean break at this point. Like they need to just completely separate from the old. Like it ended with Cosmic Fury, even though it kind of went out on a whimper.
You ain't lying.
I wish they would have done more with it, brought back more of the old cast, made it kind of like a multi-generational, like this is it, the end. We're fighting Lord Zedd. We're taking it out. We're done.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'll take what we can get out of it. And we got, you know, the final more or less movie of the original MMPR people.
Yeah.
So,
Super Sentai started in the 70s in 1993, August 28th, 1993, to be specific. We got Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. So that was 32 years ago for Mighty Morphin, because that anniversary literally just passed a couple of months ago. And yeah, it's crazy to realize that Super Sentai has been around for 50 years. Other things 50 years that I can think of off the top of my head almost, well, Star Wars is at 48, but Jaws did its 50th anniversary.
Well, Star Trek will be at 60 years next year.
Yep.
That's crazy.
We old.
Crazy, man. It's crazy.
What I find absolutely hilarious, this article that you have here from Screen Rant, and this is the first time, I don't know, we send links to each other all the time when we do the Altered Geek podcast, the news roundups and stuff, and I look at this stuff, and I look at these articles. I think this is the first time ever I've been to Screen Rant's website, but the photo they decided to use to promote this post is an in-space photo, and I'm like, really?
Well, they use in space and they use Dino Thunder.
Okay, fine, but yeah, but like, if you're talking about the Super Sentai, the Japanese footage, the originator of it, you would think as the featured image they would use that and then have the space photo be the first, Dino Thunder be the second, etc., etc. I don't know, it's just this whole it's going to de-evolve into the whole Valnet thing that you and I have been talking about for the longest time. But yeah, no, Super Sentai ending after 50 years. Hey, you know what? It was a great run. To have a 50-year run, that's amazing. Awesome.
Yeah. I could get into the whole Valnet thing.
I know.
Their awards specifically. But we'll get into that next time.
Yeah, I was not trying to. Just saying, this Power Rangers 50 years for Super Sentai.
So, yeah. Then there's God. Gremlins 3.
No, there isn't. No. Okay. We were going to do another podcast episode tonight. We're not, but we were. We still have plans to cover the films over in Studio 2009. I don't know when we're going to do it, because to me, it doesn't really feel like I watched the first 48 Hours movie for the first time ever. Came out in 82. I was 2 years old, for crap's sake. There wasn't a lot of things I was watching at 2 years old in 82. And Steve was still 4 years off before he would enter this world. And whatever. And the reason why I'm saying no to Gremlins 3 is because Gremlins 3 is like two decades too late. The original Gremlins movies, Gremlins was 84, New Batch was 91, I think, 90, yeah. Yeah, Gremlins 2, the New Batch was 1990, so 84 and 90, and it is now going to be sometime in 2027 when we get Gremlins 3.
So let me
put
a pin in this, only because with the sale of Warner Brothers, we'll see what gets shut down.
Okay, yeah, fine, good.
But it's been in ongoing development since 2013.
But even then, like... Yeah. Like, I remember New Batch being a funny, underperforming film. So, again, the way I see this is just the way I remember it, folks. Ghostbusters, funny and scary. A little bit more scary than funny. Of course, I was four at the time, four, five, six in that range when I saw Ghostbusters. By the time Ghostbusters 2 came out in 1991, I was 11 years old. Ghostbusters 2, more funny, less scary, because the first movie was more scary. Same thing with Gremlins. Gremlins, the original Gremlins movie, the first movie, very scary. Stripe, very scary. And then in 1990, why can't we all be more civilized? Like, the brain gremlin was not very scary. He not scary at all. Even when he wasn't his brainy self and he turned into a gremlin gobbledygook of a mess. Look, we talk about this ad nauseum on our lovely podcasting network here that we do absolutely love nostalgia. And we run on nostalgia. It fuels us. It absolutely does. But when that nostalgia comes, potentially arrives, 37 years too late, we got a problem here. And let's just say, for example, let's just say, okay, so Gremlins 2 came out in 1990. So 2027, let's just say for S&Gs that they would have released Gremlins 2 in 1993. Still, 34 years too effing late. I don't know who is here for this movie. I don't know what, like, Gremlins fans, please comment on this post on geekcastradio.com and let me know. I'm honestly asking, as a Gremlins fan, I was a fan of the first two films. I really was. I don't remember if we've ever covered them. I think we have at least once.
Maybe. Might have been on MWire.
Well, yeah, because that's where I know it hasn't been on studio yet. Yet, keyword. Hey, look, folks, Halloween 2026 is coming up. We will most definitely cover the Gremlins Christmas movie at Halloween, because that's what you do, right?
Well, and they're working on a Goonies, too, so.
Oh, God, don't even get me started. Not because of that. It's a whole thing. It's kind of like your Valnet thing. Anyway. At the movies, good. Yeah, no, I just did a quick search, and there, I just searched Gremlins on geekastradio.com. There's my article about 35th anniversaries. There's Weekend at the Movies, April 10th, 2015, Mad Max, 1979, Captain America, the Winter Soldier. Yeah, there's nothing. We've done nothing with Gremlins, which does not surprise me.
Interesting.
But we can, and we will. Eventually, we've got a lot of stuff backed up. But the point is, my point specifically is, I personally think 2027, even if it doesn't or does, hopefully it doesn't happen. Because like you said, with the WB thing, whatever happens there, I don't think this needs to be a thing. I really don't.
I agree.
If you want, okay, look, if you want a creature feature kind of thing, technically, Gremlins wasn't for kids, but let's just say a Goosebumps level design of Gremlins type of, like, you know what I'm trying to say, right? Like, if you want something like this, go out and create a new story with the same, like, you can still have this same villain. He doesn't have to be Stripe. You can still have a Mogwai. I mean, you could have something like a Mogwai. It probably can't be a Mogwai, because then oh, it's Gizmo. Oh, it's this or oh, it's that. Like, I don't know. Just, this is way, this is too little and way too late. And the fact that it's even just, the fact that this article says Gremlins release date confirmed, I'm just like, really? Is it? Are you sure about that?
I don't know. I think it is legit. It's just,
no, I think it's legit. I'm just saying, like you said, like,
need this? Do we need this? Please, yeah. No.
Yeah, please, no. It just doesn't.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, like, this, I don't know. Just, I don't know. Like, it's just weird. And then, Continuing on with the sequel train, Brendan Fraser returns for The Mummy 4, the movie he always wanted to make. Yay for him. Next article. I've never cared about The Mummy. I've never cared about the first movie. I don't even think I've seen the other two movies.
See, I love the these. First.
Okay.
Like, I thought they were great, like, back in the okay. day. Like, I loved Brendan Fraser in these two films. I didn't really like him in, like, a lot of his other movies, like Encino Man, or I think that's yeah. what he's in.
Yeah.
And, you know, some of the other ones, I know he was in, what was it, Airheads?
Yeah, Airheads, yep.
Yeah, he was in that, too. I didn't really care for him in a lot of the other stuff, but I did like him here. I saw him in, like, Dudley Do-Right and George of the Jungle, too, but the Mummy stuff was definitely where he kind of did really well. And then he was in some recent stuff like Furry Vengeance and movies like that. I don't know. I feel like he's due to get a revival into this. Plus he did do three films. So
yeah. Yeah.
I feel like this is kind of his natural return. And a lot of the actors are coming back for it. So I'm perfectly fine seeing him return to this role, if nothing else, for like one movie.
I think the one. Yeah. Who was he in? God, I barely. Oh, he was in an uncredited candidate. Wow, I didn't even know he was in that. Okay, anyway, I'll say this about Brendan. I like his acting. I like the way he portrays roles. But honestly, looking at his filmography, Blast from the Past from 1999, Bedazzled. Blast from the Past from 99, Bedazzled from 2000 with him and Elizabeth Hurley. Looney Tunes Back in Action from 2003. Those are the main ones I remember. And then the uncredited cameo, Sergeant Jeffrey Stone IV. He was in Rise of Cobra in 2009. I'm like, really? He was? I don't remember him at all in that movie. But other than that, I haven't seen any of his films whatsoever.
Oh, Journey to the Center of the Earth.
Yeah, Journey to the Center of the Earth.
That one was good. Yeah, that one was pretty good.
I take that back. Now and Then from 1995, I saw that. And I did see Airheads. Oh, he was in
in Furry Vengeance. He was in, you know, Journey to the Center of the Earth, the Mummy films. I don't know who he played in Rise of Cobra.
Yeah, he was Sergeant. It was an uncredited role. He was, 2009, Sergeant Jeffrey Stone IV.
I think he was killed.
Lieutenant Stone. There were three different fictional characters. Yeah, he probably was.
Let me see. Yeah, because Quaid was General Hawk.
General Hawk, yep.
Danny Tatum was Duke. I know we're going down a rabbit hole, but I don't care at this
point. It's okay, I don't care. We need to figure this out.
Rachel Nichols was Scarlet. Yep. Marlon Wayans was Ripcord. Ray Park was Snake Eyes. Those were all like
the main core.
Great. They were great. Brendan Fraser, Jeffrey Stone, Sergeant Stone. He was reportedly going to play Gung Ho, but was later revealed to be playing Sergeant Stone. I don't know who that character is, and I know quite a bit about. Oh, that's what I thought. He's playing G.I. Joe Extreme.
Yeah.
Lieutenant Stone.
Yeah. Lieutenant Stone.
Yeah. And that's what I thought they were trying to go for with this. But
yeah.
Okay. That makes sense. But okay. Yeah. I think he was killed in the movie, though.
Yeah,
but he wasn't. I know they wiped out all the G.I. Joe.
Yeah.
But maybe that was the second film.
Yeah, I've never seen the second. We got to go back and do those again, because I've never seen the second one.
Honestly, I'd be more enthused to do that than 48 Hours. Maybe we should do that.
Okay.
We'll do it. We'll do the two G.I. Joe films.
Yeah, yeah, not tonight, but yeah.
No. I don't want to do it tonight.
Yeah, no, well, we can't. We'd have to do running commentaries if we did it tonight. Oh, fuck.
I do hate that they changed a lot of the actors in the cast from film one to two.
Yeah, we can talk about that later. I'm going to save Rise of Cobra.
But yeah,
it's
anyways.
Been a while since we've, anyways, sorry, folks. We're,
yeah.
Look, we get on rabbit holes on these damn podcasts all the time. Y'all know better than that with us.
But yeah, he did a lot of movies with Pauly Shore.
Yep.
Encino Man, In the Army Now,
yep.
Son-in-Law.
Yeah. Son-in-Law was just a brief cameo. I barely remember that.
But yeah. Anyways, like I'm looking forward to another Mummy film. Like I liked the film, and I would be interested to see where they go with it. I know that they bring back some of the original cast, being Brendan Fraser's Rick O'Connell, Rachel Weisz's Evelyn, and John Hannah's Jonathan.
Yeah.
Oded, he played Ardith Bay, who was like one of the Rangers.
Okay.
I think he still was alive. I could be wrong. I haven't seen these things in ages.
Yeah.
But he's currently like Admiral Vance in Star Trek Discovery.
Oh, nice.
So he's had some other, you know, stuff to keep busy with. The guy that played Imhotep, he died in like every movie and like kept coming back. So I hope they don't keep reviving him. Because they did end off on like Tomb of the Dragon Emperor. Like they had the mummy returns, and then the mummy Tomb of the Dragon Emperor, which that one they recast Evelyn for.
Oh,
it was
wow.
the third movie. Like that one, I don't remember. I remember the first two pretty vividly. The third one, I do not remember. So yeah, it'll be interesting to, I'll probably go back and rewatch all these. But yeah, and then they had like the Scorpion King, which Brendan Fraser gave, you know, he was in the Mummy Returns, that kind of gave The Rock his start,
right,
in acting. And it's funny because later on, like The Rock was able to get Brendan back into, you know, films because he was kind of blacklisted for a while.
Yeah.
So they kind of had this nice reciprocal, you know, revival back to acting. So
very cool. Very cool.
I don't know. I'm excited for that.
Yeah. Cool.
There's few sequels I get excited about. So
yeah.
Cause usually they suck. Yeah. Unlike Axel F. That was good.
That was good. It's real good.
And before we go on to the Hedgehog,
yes,
we skipped the Supergirl teaser.
No, we didn't skip the Supergirl teaser because I wanted it to be a longer conversation.
Okay, we'll go to Sonic then. As long as you bring it back, I know.
We didn't skip it.
So Sonic the Hedgehog spinoff movie is in development for 2028.
Yeah,
they are going to do a Sonic 4.
Yes, they are doing Sonic 4, but this is a spinoff movie. I have scrolled down to the middle section of the article to try to cut this down to get it to the bare bones of what this actually means.
It would be likely Shadow the Hedgehog.
Per Variety, Paramount has entered development on a mysterious Sonic the Hedgehog spinoff movie. The project, which is again being produced by Neil H. Moritz, is currently only being described as a Sonic Universe event film, with the title also already being set for December 22nd, 2028 release date. In addition to the new Sonic film, the studio also has announced Untitled TMNT movie for November 17th of that year as well. If it's Shadow, great. If it's Amy, great. I don't know if Amy can hold a solo film. I'm not saying that. Oh my God, Sonic fans, don't come at me. I'm not saying that as a hate comment. I'm saying that as I'm not sure if, like, I think we need to see her story unfold in Sonic 4 and then go further on with her adventures, because it was great when she showed up. But I think Shadow deserves a solo film. Absolutely.
I'm all for it, and I'm all for a new TMNT film. Hopefully that doesn't look like the last two that we got.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of the TMNT film, since we're talking about that, and since we haven't done this since that news dropped. So they are going to be doing a new TMNT film, which means that the last Ronin film that they were supposed to be doing is shelved until they start the new TMNT film, or until they get that done or whatever. It is a whole thing. I have a whole bunch of news about it somewhere. We can talk about it later at another date, but I did want to mention that yes, folks, Steve and I did know about the last Ronin film. Have you ever read that?
No, I'm familiar with
that. Okay. You got it. I think I have it. I can send it to you. My buddy Joe and I did a 3.5 hour pullback on it. Oh my God. It's so friggin' good. So friggin' good. But I'll send that to you later. But yeah, so the new TMNT movie, and again, great. If you want to start from you know, the ground up, Nickelodeon, Paramount, whomever, yada, 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 whoever owns the rights nowadays, I think it's Nickelodeon. If you want to start from the ground up and get new people in, great. Just please, for the love of God, don't make the turtles anorexic. Okay, look, I'm not saying that to make fun of people who are anorexic. I'm an old fat white guy. I get it. I've been made fun of my whole life. But somebody on Instagram pointed out the other day, they took a picture, a still shot of 1987 Mikey and 2024 Mikey from Rise of the TMNT. And just kept pointing between the two. Look, 87, he looks like he's built. He looks like he has muscles. He looks like this. 2024, Mikey, what's this? Do we need to give this guy a carrot or something? Do we need to give him some lettuce? Do we need to, like, you know, the 10,000, what is it? 10 million strong and growing. Do we need to give these new turtles some vitamins or something? Because literally, like, I haven't even watched any of the Rise of the TMNT stuff. I don't know if I ever will, but I've seen the designs of them. They look like literal tadpoles that could wade water in a garden hose. Like, oh my God, they look like they could drown in a garden hose, for crap's sake. Like, seriously, like, oh my God.
It's so funny.
I'm sorry. It's the designs are horrible. Like, you could have the best story in the world. I'm not saying anything about the story of whatever the whole Rise of TMNT or whatever the current series, whatever. But those designs that they have within that universe section of TMNT, those skinny ass turtles, I'm not saying they have to be 6'1", 458 pounds, which is what my height and weight is. And I know I'm obese and I know I need to lose weight and yada, yada, yada. If I was 100 pounds lighter, I'd be perfectly happy, happier anyway. But like, I mean, how are you supposed to do real ninja-ing if you get Nicolas Cage's live action Spider-Man 2026 release seemingly confirms new Marvel what? Okay, I've talked too much.
So this is a Spider-Noir, and he's more of a detective.
Yep.
And so it's different from There's two confirmed releases coming, including like an animated Your Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man season two, Tom Holland's movie, Brand New Day, and then this. And Nicolas Cage will be brought back as Spider-Man Noir
after
he was into the Spider-Verse.
Yep.
And I'm all for it because I like Nicolas Cage anyway. But he's not playing Peter Parker, he's playing Ben Reilly.
He's playing Ben Reilly, yeah.
So that's how they get around the Peter Parker Spider-Man aspect and get to use him for, you know, this. So he'll be a Spider-Man, but not be a Spider-Man. So
he'll
be Spider-Noir.
Yeah, it looks really good.
I'm all for it because I like the whole idea of the private investigator and the old, you know, the 1930s like aesthetic and you know, Untouchables type thing. Like, I'm all for it. And
have you ever seen the Thin Man movies?
No, does not.
But it's the same thing.
I know, but.
But it's the same thing. He just doesn't have spider powers. Yeah, okay, fine. Whatever. Fine. It's different. Asked a question. It's not different. It's the same thing. No, it's not different. It's a detective in the 1930s. It's the same thing, man. He has this nice little dog named Asta who goes on adventures with him. The dog usually gets into all kinds of trouble. And then in the seventh movie, they have little Dean Stockwell as their son who gets into trouble with the dog, and they have to go rescue the both of them. He's good. It's only seven films. Yeah. Hey, look, 6 films versus 23 in an entire universe. 6 films ain't bad. Anyway. What's the Spanish for 7? Oh, God. Cause no. Get out of here. Go home, Cameron. You're drunk.
Well, I haven't liked anything he's put out in a long time. Terminator needs to be taken out back and shot.
Literally.
Quite literally. It needs to just be rebooted or just like completely rebooted from scratch. Like, it needs somebody else helming it. They need to stop bringing back Arnold. Like, they need to stop bringing, I don't think they will on this, but they need to just kind of leave it alone and reinvent it, because it's tired. It's been tired since after Terminator 2, and Dark Fate was kind of the follow up to an alternate timeline version of Judgment Day, where, you know, I mean, it could have almost been the same thing and just he's killed later. But I think that it just needs to go away. Like, I enjoyed Dark Fate because it kind of ended a lot of characters and it brought back Sarah Connor. And
yeah, hey, if a movie is going to close off a storyline, if you're going to get an ending, that's great. That's awesome. We love that. Like, again, it's not I'm not saying a bad thing here. What I'm saying is 1984. Yeah, 1984. We got the first Terminator. Okay, cool. 1991. We got the second one. 2003 was the third one, I think, or was it 2006? Anyway, it doesn't matter. Point is 84, 91, 1-2 punch. Okay. But if you're going to continue to give us 3, 4, 5, 6, and by 6, Dark Fate, you give us the end of the story and you say, hey, this is the end of the story. Kind of like, you know, naming your movie Endgame. Don't get me started. Anyway. But yeah, no. Hey, cool. Great. Awesome. Where's the thing? Career? No, where's your thing, Jamie? Okay, there we go. So Jamie Lee Curtis, who was in True Lies, is currently promoting her new movie, Ella McKay. I kind of want to see this movie. It's not anything you, I don't think, would want to see, but I kind of want to see it. But anyway, she's in the middle of promoting this, and I saw a Instagram reel where she's like, somebody asked her, is there any movie, out of all your movies you've ever made, is there any movie that you would want to do a sequel to? She goes, yeah, I'd kind of like to call it My Buddy Arnold. And, you know, and before she even gets to say it, the guy interviewing her and the people around her are all saying, oh, you want to get more of those True Lies out, don't you? She's like, yep. And do a True Lies sequel. I don't know if that movie necessarily needs a sequel. I understand why she would want to do one. But
they're kind of too old for it now.
Are they, though?
I mean, they're going to do another Lethal Weapon movie.
They've always
he literally is too old for this crap.
I mean, they've always been too old for that shit. I mean, it doesn't matter. What they were too old for that in 1987, they're too old for it in 2027. So, you know, I don't know.
Speaking of too old, Men in Black 5.
Wait, what? I forgot there was a fourth. Oh, God.
Yeah, the fourth one was
no, with... I know, but I'm just like, what the hell? Five movies?
So, it's in development at Sony. There's no sign whether Will Smith will be back.
Yeah.
But the plan is Bad Boys for Life screenwriter is writing the script for the fifth Men in Black film. And Will Smith's involvement all depends on what that screenwriter writes.
Well, right.
But they plan to include his character Agent J in the first draft. So I would be down for that if they're bringing him back. Although I do feel like they ended his storyline on a, you know, they took him full circle in the third film by explaining where his dad went and kind of the fact that he was nebulized as a child by Kay.
Yeah.
And then they don't need to bring Tommy Lee Jones back.
No.
Because I feel like at this point, Jay should be kind of running the show.
Yeah, no, Tommy's a little too old for that Nike stuff.
But yeah, they're saying if he does return, there's no guarantee he'll be the star of the film. It's possible it could involve, you know, handing over the reins, which that seems to be the case with a lot of films. I mean, like Sylvester Stallone doing Rocky Balboa and, you know, handing it off to Apollo Creed's son. And I don't know. I could see another passing of the torch, but yeah, the Chris Hemsworth film was crap. And the Men in Black International, which was supposed to be a reboot.
Yeah.
It was crap. So much so I don't remember it. And I watched
I don't remember it either, but I know Chaos and I watched it because she wanted to watch it. We didn't podcast about it, but I know she wanted to watch it and we watched it, but I don't remember it. do we talk about Netflix or are we saving that?
We're saving that.
Okay, we're saving that.
And then there's Scarlett Johansson wanting to be in Batman 2.
Yes. Okay. Let's see here. Actor wants job.
Yeah.
That's what it boils down. Like,
she's like, I'm done with Marvel. Let's join DC. So,
and that's more than fine. Like, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, you know, look at Michael Keaton. No disrespect to the man. He was the goddamn Batman for 89, and then he went over to Marvel and became the Vulture. You know, it is what it is. I mean, again, actor wants job. I was only interested in this news if the Batman 2 was going to somehow get us the Phantasm. But I don't think that's where they're going with that story at all.
I don't think they'll go there either.
No. And I don't really want Matt Reeves to touch that story. Somebody more competent, better writer.
I concur.
Netflix versus or Netflix buying or let's go.
We'll see what happens. But yeah, they're saying that she could possibly be Poison Ivy or the Phantasm or Vicky Vale. So we'll just have to see what happens.
I don't know about Vicky, but I could see her being a Pam.
I could see her being more of the Phantasm.
Well, yeah, but not. Yeah, that's true. But I could also see her being a Poison Ivy if she wanted to go evil. Look, man, have you ever seen her? Anyway, Never mind. So all streaming services are going to collapse into each other. Because well,
let's do the Supergirl first.
Okay, so I'm really excited for this. I still haven't seen Superman, but as I've said on other past episodes, yeah, I know. I've read the Wikipedia article about it. I know what happens in Superman. I just was so engrossed in all of the Superman news. I basically read everything I could read about the Superman movie with James Gunn. And I feel like I needed to step away from Superman. Like I needed to wait like 6 months to a year before I actually am separated away from it enough to where I could just sit down on an afternoon and nobody's around and just watch the movie and just experience. It's kind of like, you know, having that first experience where like nobody's talking about it, all the hoopla has died down and everything else, but I know what happens in the movie. I've seen the ending to the post-credits scene with Supergirl and Krypto, so I know, and I'm really excited for Supergirl. So when I saw that teaser, I was like, ah, this is gonna be fun.
I think the film will be pretty good. I watched the Superman film. I'm not bad. A huge fan of Superman outside of the animated series anyway.
Right.
So, I mean, like I've seen the Christopher Reeves. I've seen the Henry Cavill. I've seen the current guy. I recently got an appreciation for the Henry Cavill films.
Okay.
Upon rewatch. However, and I don't understand, I literally do not understand the Snyderverse people that are like, they're clamoring for a revival of this universe. It's never going to happen.
It's never
going
to happen.
It's never going to happen. Like, Cavill's done. He was burned. Yeah. And then Affleck outright said after The Flash, like, he's like, I'm not doing a Batman film. I'm done.
Yeah.
And even though, like, he was gung-ho for it, like he was like, I get to play Batman, but then like the WB screwed things so much, he was just like, I can't do this, I gotta do something else, it's more fulfilling, because like he was just beating around the bush arguing with company execs, and so he moved on. And I mean, that's why we're still sitting on a hiatus of a Batman film. But I'm not in love with everything that James Gunn does.
No, me either. Not at all.
But I have to give him that he definitely is hitting the more bright, colorful, lighthearted.
Oh, yeah.
As opposed to the fact that we've had 20 years of just doom and gloom.
Yeah.
Like, just dark. And I am sick of it.
Yeah.
So even if I'm not 100% on board with everything he's doing, I'm looking forward to the rollout to see how this universe fleshes itself out, to see the new Batman, to see what the new costume is, to see who they get, to see what direction they take with it. I'm, as much as I liked portions of the Snyderverse, it was a mess. And it was because it had studio intervention that screwed it all up.
Yeah.
So I am giving him the benefit of the doubt on this. I'm waiting to see what happens. This film looks fun, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, this film looks super fun. That trailer gave me pretty much Guardians of the Galaxy vibes without all of the other Guardians. It's just her and Krypto. They mention Superman here and there. The song was great. The song, and that's why. And the coat obviously is kind of cool and whatever. And it's just, it is very cool. And I'm very excited for it. So we'll see what happens. And yeah, no, absolutely. So yeah. Supergirl, let's go.
Yep, let's go. So moving on, we have the Netflix WB Paramount debacle. So I found it interesting that this came out like a week after Netflix entered into an official deal with WB.
Yeah.
That it was leaked. Netflix was eyeing purchasing or putting in a bid to Disney.
Jesus.
Which, don't get me wrong, makes me laugh because I predicted that by 2029 they'd buy Disney.
They'd buy Disney. So, yeah.
So it was like, oh, please let that happen. Oh, please. Except that would make them just, the Uber conglomerate. I just wanted to be right. That was what it all boiled down to.
Yeah, I know.
Plus I was like, oh, I could pay $60 a month and I can get everything. But it's interesting because, you know, Netflix did put in, you know, an $83 billion bid and purchase of WB, and they've entered formal, you know, discussions. And Paramount is so butthurt. Like, they're like, they didn't even consider us. And it's funny because Comcast, which owns NBC Universal, put in a bid too, and they were turned down. And they're just like, okay, whatever. Like, we own NBC and we own Universal, so we have an original studio. And, you know, it's like Sony, they own an original studio. Amazon owns an original studio. Disney owns a buttload of them. And then, and they are one of them. And then, you know, for Netflix to purchase WB, I mean, it's just another laundry list of companies. Like, WB is the, I'm trying to put this delicately, but they're like, they've been passed around more times than
a $3 hoe.
No, that and, you know, the amount of time somebody sat on a toilet seat in a public restroom. like they've literally been passed around so much, like Time Warner, AOL Time Warner, and you know, Discovery, and they've been passed around so much.
Yeah, which is really sad because you think of Warner Brothers and you think of that legacy and you think of everything they've done. Like, you would think that somebody somewhere would want to take care of that instead of, you know, trying to destroy it or trying to sabotage it or whatever.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't feel like I'm like totally against it. Like, I don't love the idea of Paramount getting them. I mean, yes, it would level the playing field because all these like metrics I keep seeing of like Hulu being separate from Disney, and, you know, then you got Amazon Prime, then you've got Paramount, then you've got Peacock, and all these different platforms. Netflix, no matter what, is the biggest platform, followed by Disney, and then there's like a couple, there's like one more, I think it's Amazon, then there's like Peacock, and then there's Paramount, and then like another one, and then Hulu, and then another one. But it's funny because Hulu is now a part of Disney, so that also just propels them. And Amazon shirks the system anyway because they integrate with everybody.
Yep.
So as long as you have a subscription, you just tie it into your Amazon and you can get on it.
Yep.
And so that, you know, that creates that. And then, so if you did put Paramount and WB together, it would create a bigger library. And, you know, they both have a lot of legacy in there. The issue I see is with those two happening is, one, Paramount, it's being flooded by the Ellisons, who own Skydance, who bought Paramount. Yep. After Paramount and CBS remerged after their separation 20 years ago. And they've not been financially viable since the split.
Yep. No.
And then they've been up and down, up and down. And then, you know, Viacom, you know, bought them, you know, remerged Viacom, Paramount, CBS. And then they became Paramount. And then Skydance, you know, it's Paramount, a Skydance company. And then So, I mean, they've been tossed around just as much as WB almost.
Yeah.
And for these two studios that are just hemorrhaging and having problems, it doesn't make sense to put two bad apples together, even though, like, they have a lot of legacy and a lot of great stuff. I feel like Netflix, as much as people are like, oh, they're going to ruin theater, it's like, well, one, I haven't been to the theater in years because I hate going. Like, it's more so it's disruptive. I don't have time. Yeah. It costs too much.
Yeah.
It's, you know, I don't have that kind of time to go to the theater anymore. Like, I'm like, I just want to watch it at home in the comfort of my own living room. I don't want to go anywhere. Like, I just, that's where I want to be. And then a lot of people I know do that too. I mean, yeah, the theaters are still packed around here, but I don't love the idea of going anymore. Like, it would have to be something monumental for me to actually go. And Netflix, now what's funny is a lot of WB stuff does great on Netflix.
Yeah.
Friends, you know, Big Bang Theory.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. So, I mean, if you're putting that and you're putting all the WB library onto Netflix and you have a Netflix account, that's great.
Yeah.
So, and then it makes Netflix a legacy holder as well of old, you know, because then they have Warner Brothers, a Netflix company.
Yep.
And then Netflix is its own thing too. But I mean, it could be worse. It could have been a Blockbuster company. Netflix did try to sell to Blockbuster. Blockbuster is like, hey, this will never catch on.
This will never catch on. Look where you are now. Yeah.
So yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on between all of these different companies. And
so the three companies we still have from the old studio days are, even though they are under other umbrellas now, and they have been, like, Columbia has been under Sony for years, but I'm just going to say this. Paramount, Columbia, and Warner Brothers. Paramount has been around for... Where is it? Where are you? I just saw this. 107 years. What's the other thing? Warner Brothers has been around for 102 years, and Paramount has been around for 113 years. You have all of that legacy. And you can't find a way to have all the rights and all the right things and all the right places and get all the whatever, get all the people paid or whatever you got to do to make everybody happy and to give, especially all of the people that are still living that were relatives, like specifically like the Looney Tunes creators, all of those people like Hannah and Barbara, and I know they weren't Looney Tunes, but my point is like Friz Freleng's family, if any of those people are still alive, Chuck Jones is like all of those or whatever. Like, you can't find a way to get all of them whatever shares that they, however the revenue is on streaming for Looney Tunes or whatever. You talk about, like, all that kind of stuff and all of the legacy programming they have. If Netflix got them all, like you already said, Monopoly, Monopoly, Monopoly. They are just Mr. Monopoly. And honestly, if we only have to go to one place and pay one price at this point, okay, fine. Sure, why not? It beats having to spend, you know, for me, and I know I've said this on the show before, I try my best to do annual billing. I would rather spend $120 or $140 at one time for 12 months of content and not have to worry about it until December of next year versus having to sploosh out $20 a month here, $40 a month here, $7.99 here, $8.99 there. Like, none of these microtransactions of monthly billing things, but that's just me. I don't know, dude. It's so crazy and weird where the world has ended up with the entertainment industry as far as how we get the entertainment. Like I just mentioned, these three studios were always kind of making deals with each other. Sometimes they would be fighting with each other. Just look at the Three Stooges. Oh my God. You know, sometimes they'd be at Columbia. Sometimes they'd be this way, that way, whatever, wherever. It's like, oh my God. Like, you know, hey, look, it's crazy. It's just crazy. I don't think anyone 107 years ago or 113 years ago or 102 years ago would have ever seen anything like what is currently going on with the streaming wars of entertainment. And at this point, all of the jokes, like you sent me earlier, the same, we've sent this clip between each other a couple of times, but the whole thing of where is it, the Netflix, like how much does Netflix over the years comedy, and I replied, yeah, I'm over it all. I'll pay whatever I have to pay as long as it's ad free, and that's honestly how I feel. As long as I am paying for ad free content, and that money goes towards whoever needs to, you know, have it for being ad free, I'm good, you know, because I just can't. I've gotten it back now, but I've had to deal with old YouTube. I haven't been able to get the YouTube Premium, and I'm just like, oh my God. I forgot what it was like in the wilds of YouTube ad placements.
Oh yeah.
Yikes. Yikes. But that's the world we live in.
Yep. So I think that about rounds it out. Like, I'm curious to hear what people think about the whole studio shakedown and in changing the business model.
Yep.
And yeah, people are saying that Netflix doesn't support theatrical, but they're like, we've released movies theatrically.
Yeah.
And then on top of it, you know, if they're integrating Warner Brothers, then it's like, yeah. I also agree with their stance, though, of not having such big windows in between, because back in the day, like, no. It was more so for the home video.
Yeah. Back in the day, it was way different because, like, we didn't have we had computers, but we didn't have like instant availability like we do now. We can't go on Fandango and buy something or rent something. We can't go on Netflix and stream something. Back in the day, perfect example, I don't know what the actual media release date was for it, but you take a very important date to us, August 8th, 1986.
Transformers the movie.
That's right. You take that date, and just by my own history, I would say I did not, because unfortunately I didn't get to see the movie in theaters. I'm pretty sure I did not see that movie until sometime in the spring or the summer of 1987. I think I watched Rebirth before I watched Transformers the movie. So it was about a year and a half between theatrical release to physical media release. And that's the way it was for the longest time until we finally, you know, got the whole digital age that we are now currently living in, that we've been living in. Look at an example of what happened in the year of 2020. It was theater instant. Like, it was like the next week you could get whatever was in the theaters on Fandango or whatever kind of thing. I love that kind of stuff. Like, if you're going to put a movie in theaters for those that want to go see it in theaters and also give it to us that just want to watch it at home at the same time, great. Don't make us wait. Just give it to us now. Now. When can you have it? Now. JG Wentworth, call us now. 1-800-NOW. I forget what the numbers are off the top of my head at whatever time it is, 11 something at night. Hell time. Yeah, at 11:34 at night Eastern time. I don't remember the jingle. I just remember now. Call us now. No, that's Jenny. That's not JG Wentworth. That's Jenny. Get that out of your head.
877.
Yeah, 877. Now, cash now. That's what it is. 877 cash. God. That's hilarious. That's absolutely hilarious. So, yeah. But, yeah, folks, like Steve said, let us know. Give us some comments on geekcastradio.com on this post and let us know what your thoughts are on the streaming buyouts and the streaming wars and all that stuff. And let us know what your favorite streaming services are, whether that be Disney or Netflix or Peacock or whatever. If I didn't mention your streaming service, I apologize. I'm not worthy.
In a future episode, I'll discuss something I'm developing, but we'll...
Uh-oh. Yeah,
we'll discuss that later. But,
uh-oh.
Yeah. So anyways, as for now, thank you for listening to Altered Geek. I've been your host, Steve Megatron, with TFG1 Mike. You can, of course, comment on the episode post on geekcastradio.com. And until next time, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks.
From classic icons to new sci-fi dreams, with every episode we'll unravel the themes. Let's geek out and laugh, keep the spirits high. Together we'll journey, reaching for the sky. Discussion, let's dive into lore. From Star Trek to Transformers, we're ready to soar. Superheroes clash as we spark up the flame. Alter Geek Podcast, remember the name.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.